Welcome to Torah Team Machahav Torah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter. This week, although we read Parshas Toldos, we will read a different Haftorah because Rosh Chodesh falls out on Sunday. Instead of the regular Haftorah from Sefer Malachi, we read the special Haftorah called Machar HaChodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. From Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf, Psukim Yurches to Mem Beis, chapter 20, verses 18 to 42. This practice dates back to the times of the Gemara, as quoted in Megillah Lamed Aleph, Daf 31. Chal lihios be'echad b'Shabbas, mea small maftirin vayomer lo yonasan machar chodesh. When Rosh Chodesh falls out on Sunday, the day before, on Shabbos, the Haftorah we read is, Yonasan says, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. The Haftorah is an illuminating episode that dramatically, emotionally, and movingly depicts the unique relationship between David and Yonasan. Our aim in this class is to understand the story, what it tells us about this relationship, and then to explore its connection to Machar HaChodesh, the day of Rosh Chodesh, that is tomorrow. David and Yonasan, more than best friends, kindred spirits, soul brothers. But Yonasan is the heir to the throne. And actually, David was secretly anointed to be the next king. So here we have it, David and Yonasan, best friends and arch rivals, except that they weren't. Yonasan loved David, and in our parak, he will show that love, that selfless kindness for David, as he daringly risks his own relationship with his father in order to keep David safe. The words of love and caring these two soul brothers bid each other farewell with are so moving. So let's begin. The Haftorah begins with Yonasan's words, Machar HaChodesh, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Due to David's suspicions that Shaul is truly out to have him killed, Yonasan devises a plan to test his worries. He reminds David that if he stays away from the palace on Rosh Chodesh, his absence will surely be noted by Shaul, and his reaction would be telling. They devise a plan to communicate secretly. Yonasan will shoot arrows in a field and send a boy to retrieve them. Depending on where Yonasan tells the boy to find the arrows, David will know if it is safe to return or if he must flee. David stays away and hides while Yonasan attends the royal Rosh Chodesh Seuda. Shaul notices David is missing but thinks little of it on the first day. However, on the second day, he asks Yonasan where David is. Yonasan responds lightly that David had asked permission to spend this Rosh Chodesh away from the palace with his own family in Beis Lechem because they were bringing a family sacrifice. He has a valid, reasonable explanation. Shaul's reaction is intense and frightening. He is furious with David and also with his own son. Not understanding how his son could hold on to this relationship with David, Shaul says, as long as he is alive, your kingdom will not stand. Go find him for me. He is a dead man. Yonasan does not let this go. He calmly asks, why should he die? What has he done? In an uncontrolled fury, Shaul lifts his spear to strike his own son. Now Yonasan knew. He knew that David's fears were reasonable and terrifyingly accurate, and it was his painful job to relay that message to his best friend, that he is not safe here, that he needs to run for his life, that they must part. Knowing that David is somewhere in the field, Yonasan shoots the arrows and calls out to his boy to go and retrieve them. The directive he gave him was, Halo hachetzi mimcha vahala. The arrow is further away from where you are. The secret message to David, you cannot return. Go further. Run away. But then they go off script. Yonasan sends the boy to town, and David dangerously leaves his hiding place. And for the last time, they kiss and cry on each other's shoulders. Yonasan blesses and wishes David well. Lech l'shalom, go in peace. And they pledge friendship for their families forever. So that is our Haftorah. And now, to understand it and its connection to Rosh Chodesh. One of the more enigmatic midrashim we grow up with is the one about the moon, that originally Hashem had made two Me'oros HaGdolim, two identically large luminaries, but that the moon complained that it was not good for two kings to wear the same crown, meaning they should not be equal. One must be bigger. So Hashem took away the moon's light, causing it to only reflect the light of the sun. This new reality of the moon reflecting the sun's light is the very idea behind Rosh Chodesh. But how to understand this medrash? A talking moon? A jealous moon? A punished moon? Rav Baruch Rosenblum powerfully suggests that the message is jealousy is a thing. It's a force in the world that is so pervasive, so natural, so deeply embedded in our psyche, in human nature, that it is actually part of the story of creation. And we have become so accustomed to these phrases like zero-sum game, climbing the ladder, cutthroat competition. It starts to infiltrate our language, our psyche, and our essence. And indeed, tragically, jealousy rears its ugly head in almost every story of our history. Almost every story that goes wrong, and every person that sins, every terrible and tragic fight, the root of all evil, does seem to be jealousy. Cain is jealous of Hevel, Yishmael is jealous of Yitzchak, Esav is jealous of Yaakov. The brothers are jealous of Yosef, Korach is jealous, and so it goes. And this tragic reality seems to continue unopposed. This powerful force, this inertia, this persistence of jealousy, can nothing stand up to its power? And that is what makes our Haftorah so unbelievably moving. Because Yonasan should have hated David. The truth is, the reaction of Shaul is the one that is more natural. Shaul has a son, a tzaddik, a great man, someone who in Shaul's eyes would make a wonderful king. He is heir to the throne. And this David is what's standing in his way. In a world of survival of the fittest, David is the threat and an enemy and should be hated as such and must be neutralized. Except Yonasan can't and he won't. He loves David and chooses instead to protect him and save his life. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos praises a friendship she'eino taloi b'davar, a love that is in no way self-serving, love of the person, not what you can get out of the relationship. And the example that is given is our David and Yonasan. But what this teaches us goes much deeper than understanding true love. We learn that we have agency and we have faculty, even a drive so powerful and natural as jealousy can be overcome. We are, Hashem told Avraham, above nature. He told him, count the stars. He said, Ko yeh zaracha, so will be your children. Your children can rise beyond power struggles and envy, whether petty or life-changing. Speaking of children, there is one more layer, one more dimension to this idea. When David HaMelech eulogizes Yonasan, in Shmuel Bey's Parak Aleph, chapter 1, he says, Tzarli alecha achi Yonasan, na'amta li ma'od, niflisa avascha li me'ahavas nashim. I grieve for you, my brother Yonasan. You are most dear to me. Your love was wonderful to me more than the love of women. And Targum Yonasan explains, Richam tachli mirichimas tartin nashin. Your love is greater than the two women. Who are these two women? Rachel and Leah. Remember the Medrash about what Rachel did for Leah? How when Lavan switched Yaakov's bride the night of the wedding, Rachel knew that she would be safe because she and Yaakov had made secret signs? But when evening came, she thought about Leah and the terrible humiliation she would experience when she would be called out as a fraud under the chuppah. And Rachel gave Leah the signs, gave Leah the night, gave Leah her marriage. So what was David saying here to Yonasan? You come from Rachel, and I come from Leah. I think about your love, Yonasan, and I can't comprehend it. I don't understand how you could have loved so selflessly and so devotedly. But then I think about who we both come from, and I say that your love and kindness to me mirrors your mother's kindness to my mother. Your ability to think beyond yourself comes from her. So this Shabbos, as we hear the words Machar HaChodesh, tomorrow the cycle of Rosh Chodesh begins again. What about us? Are we still in the same old cycle of hurt people, dog eat dog, or can we too focus on our relationships, our friendships, and ask ourselves, can we love like that? Can we take the strengths of Rachel, of Yonasan, and empower ourselves to think beyond our own lives? Can we live like that? Can we rise even above powerful drives in human nature? Machar HaChodesh, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Let us use the opportunity to renew and recharge our relationships and our lives. Thank you for learning together.